Welcome to Drunk Bible Study. This show's mission is to read every single word of the greatest story ever told. A warning to our listeners, the hosts of this show are sinners, but they're doing their best. There will be drinking and there may be some swears. They did say they'd try to keep it clean, but I wouldn't put my money on it.
I'm Emily, and this is Drunk Bible Study, where my good friends Dedeker and Jace teach me, a born and raised atheist, all about the Bible. It is a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new book.
John.
It's a new John.
Yes.
Whoa.
That was my favorite Twilight book. New John.
New John. Yeah. Okay.
Good.
New John. Yeah. Here we are now. Going to the West
here
Side.
Here we are now.
No.
Entertain us.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So John, the final gospel, I can barely believe that we're here. It's kind of incredible.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird to think that we spent so many years anticipating that we would get to the New Testament to get to these gospels, and now
we're almost done with them.
In less than a year, we will have read all of them.
Wow.
So yeah, I think we'll finish this before Hot Christ Summer. So one full year of Jesus. We should repackage this as just a standalone show that's only the Gospels and call it a year of Jesus and get a million downloads.
Oh yeah, the year of Jesus for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It would be amazing.
Well, we'll get a million downloads of the first couple minutes of the first episode and then everyone turns it off.
Right. There you go.
That's how it tends to go. With like, oh right, they're still actually reading the Bible, not just riffing on the Bible.
So the two of you said something really profound as we were trying to find music for this book. And by profound, I mean, it kind of blew my mind. You said, you know, if the Gospels were the Beatles, then John would be John Lennon because John is the gospel that everybody knows. So I think that begs the question, what Beatle corresponds to the other books of the Bible or the other gospels?
Shoot.
I know, right? Oof. It's a good question. I thought so too.
That's a very good question.
I mean, what's the misfit?
I think Mark is Ringo.
Okay, the lovable misfit.
Okay.
I think Mark is the misfit, yeah.
Okay. And then
the problem is, I'm having trouble deciding if Matthew or Luke is Paul McCartney.
I kind of feel like Matthew is.
Yeah, kind of the lead, you know, kind of maybe the most vanilla seeming.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like Luke went into all the surprising detail, which to me is a very George Harrison thing to do. Yeah.
Very
so.
George. Yes, for sure. Very quiet and then surprising. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. I think we got it figured out then.
And isn't George kind of like one of the best writers, really? I don't know if...
I would say so. I think George is probably the best writer of songs.
I mean, this depends where you are in your Beatles journey. The way that it was told to me by a musician friend years ago is that there's like phases of life that you go through with the Beatles.
Yeah.
And that everyone starts out liking John. Eventually, they learn that they actually like Paul. And then eventually, they get to an elevated state and they like George Harrison.
There you go.
But then once you're actually enlightened, then it's Ringo all the way. Because at that point, nothing has any meaning.
Or it's never Ringo?
Now, that's interesting.
Yeah.
His answer to that question was, when people say, but what about Ringo? He'd say, well, some people get lost along the way. That would be his answer.
I disagree.
But you're right. Maybe it is once you come full circle.
I think it's once you come full circle, yes.
There you go.
Everything is nothing.
Yeah. I think Ringo is the, you know, the meme of the brain exploding into a galaxy.
There you go.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Okay. All right. I like it.
The other thing that I wanted to say is that the two of you have kind of been ragging on John a little bit. Like, you're a little...
Ragging in what way?
Well, you're just a little mean, and I know nothing about the man. But you're definitely like, well, John is really pretentious. You know, you said that today. Like, when we were trying to pick... pick music. Let's find some pretentious music.
It's not about John, but it's about what the Gospel of John has become.
Got it.
That if...
Can you enlighten on us a little bit on that?
We've kind of gotten to this a little bit, but like basically if a random person quotes the Bible, I'd say like 98% of the time it's going to be something from John.
98%?
Really? That's a lot.
If you're a random Christian who's not a pastor, who's not a like person in the know who's actually studied the Bible.
I think that's high.
I would
high.
Say your average person
that's high.
Is John.
That's high. I mean, John 3:16 is a hit.
It is a hit.
Everyone knows that, but...
We're not going to get that today, sadly.
Yeah, not today. We're not going to get to that today.
But I think you'll find there's a lot more quotes from John that are ones you've heard.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but as Princess PJ's in the chat says, 98% of statistics are made up on the spot. So,
I would agree with that.
That is what has happened just now. We do need to cast another Jesus for this new book. Now,
the final Jesus. Yeah. Mm.
I had considered, because of Lil Nas X's most recent controversial music video where he was a very Jesus-y figure.
Oh, that it should be him?
I do like that.
With a banging bod.
I do like that a lot.
We could have Lil Nas X.
We're bringing Hot Christ Summer back early, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we're feeling the springtime vibes.
Okay, yeah, I like it.
All I can say is it was 70 degrees outside in New York City today, and it was lovely. And you know what? Yeah. Spring is in the air.
Yeah.
And apparently so is Lil Nas X.
I think it's time. I think it's time for Jesus, little Jesus X.
little Jesus. Yeah, so if you want to see the reel that he sent us for his audition for this role, you just look up his music video. I think J. Christ is the name of the song.
Perfect.
But just look that up and I think you'll be convinced.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Love it.
Controversial, just like our show.
Yeah.
Except he actually had... a lot of people in the world react to his controversy.
As opposed to us not really having that many people. It's okay. We can dream.
But we have the best people, though.
Yeah. We have amazing people.
Really, I mean, that's why he came to us. He's like, look, I know that I have tens of thousands of followers on all the social medias and everyone loves
my
shit.
You mean millions? Yeah.
Or millions. I don't know. Numbers. 98% of numbers don't mean anything.
okay.
He said to us in a very real, factual way, he said to us that, you know, he's got all these numbers, but he knows that the best people on the internet are the Drunk Bible Study fans, and he wants to be part of that.
Yeah.
And so, just so you all know how much Lil Nas X appreciates you, and so hopefully we can all appreciate him in this role.
I love it.
Great.
Okay.
What are the two of you drinking today for this John Day?
I am once again having... this very sour Keyblade, Key Lime Pie, sour ale from Logan. Oh, wow. I'm even wearing a sweater for Logan Brewery. I'm such a fangirl today.
There's a Triforce on it.
This
cool.
episode brought to you by...
by Logan Brewing, unofficially.
I wish. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's so good. It's so sour. It's so nice.
Mm.
It does taste like a boozy key lime pie in my mouth.
Mm, for sure.
Oh, John off the mic in the chat just said Key Lime Pie Day because yes, we are recording this on Pie Day.
It matches.
Lovely.
So smart.
And Dedeker is having key lime pie.
So good.
Love it.
I'm having, this is a Trail Pass IPA from Sierra Nevada.
Wow.
Which I got... kind of in honor of Dedeker because she grew up around the Sierra Nevada parts of the world, even though it's an IPA, so she would never drink it. So
I would.
So that's where we are.
Yum. Lovely.
What have you got, Emily?
I just made a Paloma. You can see that grapefruit juice down there, and then it's got a nice little gradient going all up into
Very nice.
The tasty kind of sparkling part and a lot of good tequila.
Beautiful.
Here Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yummy. Shall we do this thing?
Okay.
It's time. Yes.
This is exciting. Yes.
It is exciting. Yes.
Okay.
This took like 40 minutes to figure out to like find this song, by the way. This
Decide
was the best
the
we got. So.
Yeah. We were auditioning songs to find the right vibe for sort of a springtime Gospel of John. So, you know, here we are. This is it. Today, we're going to be starting out reading the first two chapters of John. As we get started, we want to remind everyone to read responsibly and drink responsibly.
You can drink along with us, or you can listen to us while you're in the car.
But please do not do both at the same time. And with that, it is John 1.
Thank you.
That definitely has a, like, I'm going to the arcade and I'm going to play like Mortal Kombat with my friends kind of vibe. Ooh, I like that.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's not the music for Mortal Kombat. It's for going to the arcade to play Mortal Kombat.
No, that's accurate.
For sure.
Or like to play Tron.
Yeah, ooh, something. Yeah,
that would be more accurate for the 80s feel for sure.
Yeah, that is kind of Tron-esque. Okay. All right. Here we go. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Okay, right off the bat.
What?
With a big hit, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
This is one of those ones people quote. This is going to my 98% statistic. This is one of those ones that people quote a lot.
Oh, okay, good.
In like literature and fiction and whatever.
I thought that like it just kind of emulated the same thing that Genesis started off with.
There's a little bit of that vibe, right? It's very much this epic vibe. So like compared to the last Gospels, this is like the big Broadway revival that really completely took the original book and turned it on its head. Brought in some modern dancers and
yes,
made an immersive theater experience. Ooh, and I love all of that. Did something completely different.
Yeah. Okay. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't overcome it. Sorry, there was a big long
word translated. It.
And they had like a big parenthetical something in here, so I had to take a minute. It refers to getting a grip on an enemy to defeat him.
What?
Okay.
What does?
The word translated.
The darkness hasn't given light a wedgie.
Yeah.
Is what it means.
Or a swirly or something.
Or a swirly.
I guess. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, cool. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. What?
What?
Wait, is this about the Baptist of John?
Yeah.
No, wait a minute.
Who was played by Brett Goldstein.
Yes, but can I just ask, is this John the Baptist, this gospel boy, John the Baptist?
No.
Yes, this is John the Baptizer.
This character is John the Baptizer. This gospel is not that John.
Really?
Is that what you were asking, Emily?
Dedeker thinks it is.
Dedeker is wrong. Oh. This is not.
What is my name?
Dedeker? Dedeker? Okay. I love it when you two say that when you two disagree on something about the Bible. I love it.
Okay. According to Wikipedia, of course, who knows about authorship, right? But not the Baptist, but this John that is being referred to is the Baptist.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
But for a second I was like, wait a minute, is he talking about himself and is that himself?
No.
John the Baptist.
So I was talking about yet another John.
Okay, he's just like, I love that name. It's my name.
It's so cool. Yeah.
Okay, so there came a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came as a witness that he might testify about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but was sent that he might testify about the light. Got it.
So, this is clarifying again that John the Baptist is not Jesus or not the Messiah, as some people thought he may have been at the time.
But he ain't.
Yeah, so I guess it's to clarify. He wasn't the guy. It's this other guy we're going to talk about.
He wasn't the guy, but he's a cool guy anyways, and I'm going to talk about him. The light that enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own, and those who were his own didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become God's children, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Is he talking about Immaculate Conception there?
That was not what I read into it, but...
No, because I think it's because he's talking about people being...
See, like, he's...
No, but he's talking about people being children of God.
But he's like, what the heck does the will of the flesh mean if not the sexual being kind thing?
The sexual being kind, yes.
Sexual, yeah. He was not a sexual being. Much as we all wanted him to be.
Yeah, well, how do you know, Jace? He may have banged a lot of people. Disciples.
Yeah, I was just...
Other people.
Yeah, maybe his disciples. Maybe that was a whole polycule. We don't know.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I don't know.
It gave some culty commune-y kind of vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. I'm looking at some other translations here to try to get to the bottom of this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from the NIV. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Not children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, wink, but born of God. But so it's not about like Jesus's immaculate conception, but that he, like, to anyone who did receive him, he gave them the right to become children of God in this metaphorical way, perhaps.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Interesting.
The word became flesh and lived among us. We saw his glory, such glory as the of the one and only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him. He cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, for he was before me.' From his fullness, we all received grace upon grace." From his fullness, whoa. "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time." Well, that's not true.
You're right.
A bunch of people saw him.
You're right. That's like we've very clearly read about several people seeing him way back in the day.
Yeah. Am I wrong? I mean, right? Okay.
Well, John.
"No one has seen God at any time. The one and only Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. This is John's testimony. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' he confessed and didn't deny, but he confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' They asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' He answered, 'No.' They said therefore to him, 'Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said."
That's Isaiah. That's Isaiah, which is in Handel's Messiah, which is also quoted in John.
Did they write this after the fact?
After which fact?
Well, they definitely wrote it after the Old Testament.
Yes.
Because it's newer, the New Testament. Correct. Did they just write it to kind of fulfill the prophecy? Or do you think it actually happened?
Oh, I mean, Emily, geez, that's the whole question, right? Of like, are they trying to go back and say, look, it matches all these prophecies, or did it, right? That's the whole everything about that debate.
Mm-hmm.
The question that it makes me ask is, how much of the Old Testament did they all have access to at this time? Because I imagine it wasn't so easy to just print Bibles that everyone could read in their native language.
Probably not.
So like John saying that no one has seen God, I'm like, did you just not read that one? Did you skip that book?
That's true. That's a good point.
Right. Did you not get that oral teaching handed down to you?
Yeah. What happened there?
Yeah.
Okay. "The ones who had been sent were from the Pharisees. They asked him, 'Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' John answered them, 'I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you don't know. He is the one who comes after me, who is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loosen.'" All right.
It's interesting because I felt like in the other Gospels, he said a lot of these same things, but to Jesus. When Jesus came to be baptized, where he was like, "I'm not worthy to touch the strap of your sandal," or whatever. I feel like I remember some of that.
Jesus was like, "No one asked you to." Stop. I think the lady doth protest too much.
Interesting. Okay. Wow.
Okay.
Well, Jace, that's all you now.
Oh gosh, you're handing it over to me already. Wow.
Apparently.
Okay. Verse 28. These things were done in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him.
Wait, he's already...
And said...
A man or something?
Yeah, we skipped ahead to all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah, John yeah. doesn't do any kind of nativity
Apparently
story.
Not. Doesn't care.
No baby Jesus story. Just no. cut straight to the good stuff.
Luke yeah. didn't either, well, remember?
It's the revival. No, Luke did just, a no. Luke did Luke a shit did ton it. Of
Luke.
Oh, sorry.
Jesus's birth
it was
stories.
Mark that didn't.
No, Mark doesn't care, but Luke.
Mark did a little bit, right?
No, he skipped it entirely.
He skipped it?
I yeah. think, yeah, Mark's the one who just really was like slapdash, here we go.
Yeah,
right.
Doing
right. this.
The Ringo. He's the
Ringo? Okay, sure.
Okay. Okay. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me."
You know that thing that I literally just said to you? Oh, I guess
what
it's the next day.
The next
to?
Day. Yeah.
Himself. The locusts okay. that he's eating before he pops them in his mouth.
Ew, oh, what?
That's fun. That's fun. No, I what? Think that, no, he had followers. He had groupies, disciples, oh, okay. like Jesus.
But he
did.
Also ate locusts. That's biblical.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What else are you going to eat in the desert, Emily?
I don't know. I mean, cactus.
Yeah, you're going to chew on a cactus.
Some people eat cactus.
No, I sure, get you. Sure, yeah. I get you. Some people eat locusts.
I suppose you're right.
Okay, I'm imagining he was chomping locusts, but also having cactus. It was sort of a...
Yeah, he's got to get, you know, his antioxidants in. He's got to get his vegetables with the protein.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know him, but for this reason, I came baptizing in water, that he would be revealed to Israel. John testified, saying, "I have seen the Spirit descending like a dove out of heaven."
Wait a minute. Is
and
this
it
guy...
remained on him.
Now it's like Tommy Wiseau is back, but in the body of John.
No, that wasn't Tommy Wiseau's voice. That was more...
You were flirting with Tommy Wiseau.
Thank you.
You were flirting with the Wiseau.
It was a little Wiseau-esque.
Yeah.
How can you not flirt with Wiseau, you know?
I've never met the man, but I think that there are a variety of ways in which you cannot flirt with him.
Wow.
Okay.
I have seen the Spirit descending like a dove out of heaven, and it remained on him. I didn't recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water, he said to me, "On whomever you will see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he who baptizes in the Holy Spirit."
Okay, I like this clarification, though. It's not enough to have the Spirit descend. It's got to stick around,
yeah.
you know? Mm.
Everyone's got the Spirit descend sometimes.
If the bird lands on your shoulder and then poops and then immediately flies away, doesn't count. It's right. got to hang out and like you.
Can I ask, yeah. because this almost sounds like Jesus just kind of arrived one day. Like he was in a stork or something.
He was in a stork.
Like he was in a basket or in a you know towel that
in a,
was on
in a
stork's
cloth diaper.
Beak. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, there you yeah, go. Yeah. That's the thing. But it doesn't really sound like Mary had anything to do with it because he's just kind of talking about the fact that, oh, and this dude is here. There he is. Look at him. And he's like a human person walking around and he was never like a larva.
Okay. I mean, it's interesting that you've
somehow...
He's
never a holy larva.
You've somehow decided that John's experience of the world is the whole world. And the fact that John had never seen him before this moment meant that he materialized into existence at this
okay,
moment.
Okay, fine. Touché. It's just kind of the way that he's presenting it. He's just like,
sure.
And there he is. He like he,
there he is.
He knew. Weren't they supposed to be born around the same time?
They were. You're right.
So that's why, to me, it would be weird that he wouldn't have seen him until now. Because clearly, like, John is a grown-ass man at this point.
I guess that's true. I didn't think about that.
Then
I guess technically...
They are cousins or whatever.
They are cousins.
Yeah. And he's never met him unless, like, both of them are 12 at this point.
But I don't think they lived in the same town.
Right.
Okay, because, okay, if we go back to the origin stories of both, that, yes, Mary had to travel to meet her cousin Elizabeth. That was when they were both pregnant. And... baby John in the womb, larval John, leapt in Elizabeth's womb out of excitement when he sensed the presence of larval Jesus. But like Mary had to travel to go see her, and then they were on the lam because Herod was going to try to kill baby Jesus, right? So they had to go to Egypt for a while and move around. So like maybe they really didn't grow up together, even though they were born around the same time.
Yeah.
Can I also just ask, was Herod in every single episode of the Gospels?
No. Well, the second Herod was, but that first one that put the hit out on the babies, I think was only Matthew.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm just wondering also where, like, Jesus Christ Superstar or the other one, like, got their stories from. Godspell.
Oh.
Like, did they get it from John? Did they get it from, like, all four of them together?
It's probably a mix of all Thor, Four, not Thor. I'm drunk already. My God. It's key lime.
Key lime pie.
Pie day adds a modifier, you know?
Yeah. It did. Yeah.
When everyone teaches about Jesus, I'm pretty sure they're always picking and choosing from the four to try to flesh out a more complete story.
That makes sense.
That was always kind of the way it was presented to me, was that you have to look at all four because they each tell different parts of the same story. The way it was not presented to me was four different people potentially telling four different not matching versions, which is interesting.
I think that's a really good thing for a theologian to tackle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Who was Jesus? And that's why we have four different people playing him, because he's not necessarily the sum of his parts. He's kind of like four different, slightly faceted beings. Differently so faceted,
like the Beatles.
Beings. Yeah. They all sounded fairly similar.
They weren't just a rock band. They did a lot of different
but
stuff.
But slightly different.
Yeah.
Yes.
They definitely started out identical haircuts and suits.
But they grew apart over time. As we,
for better or for
humanity,
worse.
Got to know them better. So, okay.
As the Beatles took on our sins.
Right. I think what you're saying is that Jesus he came back as one of each of the Beatles.
Okay. And that's why John Lennon ended up saying that they were bigger than Jesus, pissing off all those Christians in the 60s.
Because he was like, we are four. We are Legion now. We are four of us.
We are Jesus Legion. We're Legion Jesus.
Okay. We have our own religion now. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. I also just really like the idea of some kind of a death metal band called Legion Jesus.
That's good.
Pretty good. It's a pretty good name. Okay. Okay, where was I? Right. So God, I guess, the one who sent me, said to him, whoever the Spirit descends on and stays on, he's the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.
That guy.
Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." People were like, "Yeah, we were there yesterday. We heard you say that."
When you said that.
The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. John was like,
They were like, "Bye," to John.
Yeah. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Oh, okay. All right. I mean, we did talk about how hot Lil Nas X looked in that video. So they're like,
it's
"Rabbi,
true. Everyone wants to know where he's checking up.
Where are you staying? Yeah.
Where are you going?" Yeah.
He said to them, "Come and see."
Oh, what a flirt.
Yeah, I love this.
What a flirt indeed.
They came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about the 10th hour, which is 4 p.m., roughly.
How does that... Okay.
Remember that like hours start at sunrise and go till sunset, and it's divided into however many parts or something. So roughly 4 p.m.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the two who heard John and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. One of the two who heard John and followed Jesus instead when he said, "That's the Lamb of God." Okay, I get it. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We've found the Messiah," which is being interpreted Christ.
Okay.
Great.
Good.
A little clarification there. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas."
I thought it was Cephas.
Cephas. Like, sure. Like Jasmine Cephas Jones, who played Peggy in Hamilton. I see.
Oh.
And Peggy.
And Peggy. Yes.
So Cephas, which is by interpretation Peter.
He's got more names by the minute. This boy.
So yeah, he's not just Simon and Peter, he's also Cephas. I love that.
Cephas, Simon, Peter.
Freddie in the chat is pointing out that this is a different meet cute for Simon, Peter, Cephas, Peter, Simon, Peter, Seaman, Cephas.
Oh, dear.
And Andrew.
Seaman, Cephas, Simon, Peter. His name is my name, too.
But this is a different origin story because in the other gospels, they're fishing.
Yeah.
Jesus comes by and bothers them and is like, "Hey, I'm going to make you fishers of men." And they're like, "Okay." And they stop their fishing and follow him. And this is different.
Yeah.
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 On the next day, he was determined to go out to Galilee and he found Philip. Jesus said to him,
"I just found him under a rock, like a Korok."
Somebody's been playing Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of Zelda, yeah.
Now, Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. So they're all from the same city. Okay.
Okay.
Philip found Nathanael and said to him,
"Oh, I forgot Nathanael was a disciple."
Yeah.
Also, just to rewind us a little bit, John Dolph in the chat is informing us that that's actually a hard C, so he's Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland?
Okay.
Oh, can Cephas be a cameo by Kiefer Sutherland?
Have we really not cast him at all? But I love it. I'm into it.
Peter. Peter is Bradley Cooper.
Damn. Yeah. Okay, well, we need to put Kiefer on the list. He's old man Keefs now.
But Peter's going to show up in other books, right? Later?
Oh, he is?
Right?
Is he going to be older?
He probably will
because
be older.
Maybe Bradley Cooper can turn into
old man
Keefe.
I'll make a note that if we can get him in, we'll get Kiefer Sutherland to be Peter. Maybe an older Peter.
He's probably not doing anything these days.
You don't think so?
After 24? I don't know.
I feel like he keeps doing stuff.
And Designated Survivor?
He keeps... Well, because then he did Rabbit Hole on Paramount Plus that no one watched because it was on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, who watches that?
Yeah. I literally subscribed to Paramount Plus for like a week and it was such a terrible experience that I immediately canceled it.
I subscribed to it so that I could watch all the Mission Impossible movies and then I canceled it.
See, if we had launched DBS Plus, this would be a perfect opportunity to plug our...
You're right. Better streaming
service. Our streaming service with a shitty UI.
No, Jace would make it the best UI in the world, okay?
Oh, boy.
I hope, at least.
Okay.
I think what would be the DBS way to do it would be like a UI, but that changes every month, so you have to relearn where the different menus are every month.
Yeah.
Just to keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
That's really dumb. Okay.
Okay, so, right. So, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?"
Ooh, whoa, burn on Nazarenes. I remember this now. I remember this being quite a teachable moment, a favorite moment to use for sermons.
I don't remember this one.
The Nazarenes that you were once, Dedeker?
Yes, more to make the point that, you know, sometimes good things come when you least expect them or from a place where you least expect them.
Is that what it is?
That's why the evangelicals love Trump.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That's how they square it.
I see. Okay. All right. I'm going to keep reading the Bible.
Okay.
"Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth? Philip said to him, 'Come and see.' Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said about him, 'Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit.' Nathanael said to him,
'How do you know me?'"
How do you know me?
I like Nathanael. He's the skeptic of the group.
Yeah.
he's not buying it.
"Jesus answered him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you.
Oh.
Who's spying?
Yeah.
And he was under a fig tree, which, you know what that means.
Yeah, she just hates.
I don't think Jesus hates figs yet.
Okay, he likes figs. He likes the idea of figs, at least.
He hasn't been hurt by figs yet.
Right, exactly. He's still optimistic, has generally gotten fig trees that put out for him. It's when he got the one that didn't is the problem.
Figs were the only thing that didn't put out for him, yeah.
Yeah. Nathaniel answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are King of Israel. Jesus answered him, because I told you I saw you underneath the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these.
Just you wait.
Yeah. He said to him, most assuredly, I tell you, hereafter you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.
Wow.
Wait.
If you know what I mean.
No, I don't. Are they going to like stand on his shoulders and then like rock it up into space and then stand on his shoulders again and then rock it up again?
Yeah, it's going to be like a Cirque du Soleil act.
Oh.
Cool.
Yeah. I bet angels could do some badass Cirque du Soleil.
They probably could. I mean, have we talked to people about this Christian Cirque du Soleil show that I found?
Oh, didn't you tell us about that? And you were like, I kind of wanted to go, but then I was also traumatized.
My mom sent me a link to, I forget the name of it. It's like this touring, and I don't know how else to describe it other than calling it Christian Cirque du Soleil, where it's like, you know, very modern, dancey, artistic, theatrical circus acts, but also telling the Jesus story at the same time. And if you need a job and you have a beard, they're desperate for men with beards. So,
right.
Bearded men?
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, they're desperate? I have a friend who has a beard.
Are they a Cirque person?
Does he want to be? Well, no, it was just for actors. It was called The Thorn. That's what it is, The Thorn. Yeah, look up The Thorn.
Great.
Okay.
And if you got a beard and you need money and you don't mind being part of a Christian touring circus production, go for it.
That would probably, yeah. Cool.
And we'll come see you. Let us know if you're in the show.
Okay, if we know someone in the show, we will 100% come see you.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll even travel a little bit to go see it if we have to. Mm-hmm. But hopefully you'll come to our cities because, you know, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Amazing. All right, we're going to take a quick break here before we go on to chapter two. Chapter one kind of ended on a nice little setup. So I'm excited to see where we go in chapter two of this book. We would love for you to tell your friends about this show. Maybe the Gospel of John is your moment. Maybe you've been waiting for this all along because this is like the only one that they know, or maybe some verses from John were used either in support or against them at some point in their life, and they've always been curious what it's really all about. That could be cool. Whatever it is, tell your friends about it. And of course, join us in the live shows. If you go to drunkbiblestudy.com/live, you can get information about that. We stream every Thursday on Twitch. And it is so much fun to get to have everyone here participating and joining us in the chat while we do it. Also, if you would like to become a patron, as a thank you for that, we have things like early releases of episodes, personal toasts on the show, Emily's drink recipes, and you can get access to all of those by going to patreon.com/drunkbiblestudy.
And we're back, and we're going to bring it home with John, a chapter two. The third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee.
Oh.
Jesus' mother was there.
Oh.
Oh, cool.
Yes. Oh, this story. I didn't realize this only happened in John. I love this story.
Really?
Yes.
Cool.
Okay, Jesus' mother was there at this marriage in Cana. Jesus also was invited with his disciples to the marriage.
Oh.
When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no wine."
They need wine. It's a wedding.
Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with you and me? My hour has not yet come."
What?
Now, one of the reasons I love this story is that line I whipped that line out on my own mother when I was a teenager, and it worked. It totally got me out of chores because it made her crack up, and I was quoting the Bible at the same time.
Amazing. Amazing. That sounds like something you do.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Wow. Totally worked.
I also love that this, we're kind of implying that his mom knows. Like, he probably did this a lot growing up, like before he was old enough to drink, where he would just be like, oh, just give me some water, put it in this pot, and like, ha ha, here it is, it's wine. And so they kind of, it was like an inside joke in the family. So I'm assuming now.
Do your wine trick.
Yeah, I was like, mom, I'm trying to have a good time.
I can't show people that, okay? It's not time yet, God.
See, this is literally how it would play out with myself and my mom also. If I had the ability to turn water into wine, is like, she'd be banging down my door and be like, mom, just stop. Like,
you're embarrassing me. Yeah,
like, I don't, like, people can buy their own wine.
I'm trying to go to the bathroom, right? Like, just, people can wait.
Seriously.
His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it.
They're like, what?
Who are you?
Who?
Now, there were 6 water pots of stone set there after the Jews' manner of purifying, containing 2 or 3 matrites. Okay, I guess in the parentheses are telling me that 2 to 3 matrites is about 20 to 30 US gallons.
Okay,
so the water stones or water pots of stone containing 2 or 3 matrites apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water.
Could you say it in a little more of a irritated teenage sort of tone of voice?
Fill the water pots with water.
Okay, good.
They filled them up to the brim. He said to them, now draw some out, take it to the ruler of the feast. So they took it. When the ruler of the feast, I don't know who the ruler of the feast is. Is that the like husband the bride, getting married? Is that the groom, father of the bride? Like,
I think
who
it's
is the
father
ruler?
Of the bride. It's got to be okay. The
father of the bride.
Okay. Is the bride's family ponying up all the money for the wedding in this day and age? I know it kind of depends on time and place. Yeah.
You bring me water on the day of my daughter's wedding.
Okay. All right. Okay.
That's pretty good.
Okay, so Brando is playing the ruler of the feast.
And then like he drinks and he's like, oh my God, this is wine. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Like, we bring him back from the dead.
When the ruler of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and didn't know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the ruler of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first. And when the guests have drunk freely, cannot read today. And when the guests have drunk freely, then that which is worse. You have kept the good wine until now. So he's like, have you tasted this shit? It's great. Why didn't you serve this earlier?
Yeah. I like that Jesus makes good wine, too.
Exactly.
It's not like boxed wine that he creates here.
I love that for him. It's like
so cool.
Yeah. And freaking Chateau de Emilion or something. Like, it's freaking great French wine or something. Yeah.
No garbage grapes, Samantha.
No, the opposite of garbage grapes.
The Old Testament.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the circle is complete.
Yeah.
We've had a corrective experience from the garbage grapes. This beginning of his signs, Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So, Emily, this is canonically, traditionally, historically, emphatically considered to be Jesus's first miracle.
Oh.
Ever.
Turning water into wine?
Yes.
Got it. Okay, yes. So this is the water into wine.
Yes, this is the water into wine.
At Mel Gibson's, no, wait, at the other guy's, who did we say? Marlon Brando, that's the one.
Marlon Brando's child's wedding.
Daughter's wedding.
Yes.
Right. It does.
Damn, my daughter's wedding.
It does seem to imply, because this, the who is it, the boss of the feast or whatever it was?
The feast boss.
That he called out to the bridegroom to compliment him on, like, dude, this is the better wine now. This is amazing.
Yeah.
So it seems to imply that the bridegroom's the one who supplied the wine for it. So maybe this guy just is hosting the event. He could be an uncle or another relation.
Or maybe it's that, like, the father of the bride ponies up the money for the wedding, but then the groom and groom's family provides like the wine.
Yeah.
The alcohol, the booze.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's but the nice other, that, the wife supplies the venue, the wife's family.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. It's nice though that Jesus kind of bailed this guy out because I feel like the wife's family would have not been very happy that they didn't get enough wine for
exactly.
this party.
They didn't. Yes. Seriously.
Yeah. Jesus really good bailed job, him Jesus. Out there. Yeah.
So, okay, but if we're considering this is Jesus' first miracle, like how did his mom know? Why did she come to him being like, hey, well, they have no wine?
Because
no,
that's
he
not,
must have done it.
Or was she just gossiping?
It's not his first miracle. Come on.
You don't think so?
No, obviously.
What do you think his
knew.
First miracle? You think, okay, you think he's been doing this since childhood?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Well, okay. Question. Is it a miracle if he just does it at home? And if it, he doesn't, or is it a party trick?
Okay, if water
his
turns
first public,
to wine
his first public
in the
miracle.
Forest and no one's around to see it.
No, but
is
like
it a
clearly
miracle?
His parents were there to see it, maybe, like Joseph and his mom. Mm-hmm. But when people were really in need at a freaking wedding, when like their, you know, life, not their life on the line, but their reputation was on the line and they really needed that wine for this wedding. That's the miracle.
It is a weird first public miracle.
Yeah, out of all the miracles.
Out of all the miracles you could choose of like healing blindness, bringing people back from the dead.
Okay. But that's why Jesus was saying to his mom, he's like, it's not my time yet. Don't push me. Because he was working on a whole routine. He wanted his debut to be something better.
Oh, you're right. But he's like, okay, fine. Yeah.
Can I just say, John Duff in the chat is saying, the word miracle literally means that which causes one to marvel. If no one is there to react it, I guess it is no miracle.
Wow.
React to it. And so by miracle, I mean, it made everyone marvelous.
Yeah, well, but in this case, it's only a mini miracle because only the servants knew. Everyone else just thought there was more wine.
There was more wine, right?
But he knew. So, he knew that it was a marvel.
A mini-cull.
After this, he went down to Capernaum. He and his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days.
It was a nice little retreat. Also,
to sober up after that wedding.
Yes. I was walking around New York today and I saw a bunch of things be like, Purim is coming and let's celebrate Purim. Is Purim around the same time as Easter?
Yes. Yeah, traditionally. It's in the springtime usually, right? Yeah. I mean, the Jewish calendar is always a little bit higgledy-piggledy because it's kind of based on more celestial events than the calendar we're used to. So things do
shift.
Holidays do shift and change.
Got it.
But yeah, I feel like traditionally it's usually earlier in the year, right? None of us are Jewish, so.
I mean, Purim is coming. I know, Purim is coming, apparently.
Okay. They family retreat, sobering up from the wedding. Yes, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and the changers of money sitting.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Wait, this is happening early.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Oh, right. Oh. Okay, sorry. I just looked ahead. I remember that this is a totally different, way more intense telling.
Wait, he be whipping them. Okay. No, this is what I wanted the whole time. I wanted the flipping
more
and
violence.
The whipping.
Flipping
yes.
and whipping.
Yeah, okay.
Every time you're just like, he was a little angry. And he was like, hey, you shouldn't do that. But this time, he's making whips and shit. It's cool.
Flipping and whipping.
Yeah.
He made a whip of cords and threw all out of the temple, both the sheep and the oxen. Oh, also the animals.
What? I'm sorry, they didn't do anything. Wow. They were not there of their own accord.
He's freeing them. He's like being a very strident vegan activist, like letting animals out of the zoo and stuff.
That's right.
And he poured out the changers' money and overthrew their tables.
There it is.
To those who sold the doves, he said, take these things out of here. Don't make my father's house a marketplace.
Freaking doves. Oh, and by father, he means God. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I really like that he went and like actively freed the sheep and the cattle. But then he comes up to the people selling the doves and he's like, shit, I can't look him in the eye. He's like, you just take them out of here. Just get them out of here.
Get him. I can't look at him.
His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will eat me up.
Excuse me?
Where was that written?
It doesn't say. Doesn't attribute it to a prophet.
Huh.
was written maybe somewhere. Somebody may have written it at one point or another.
Zeal
for your house will eat me up.
Weird. Okay.
What?
The Jews therefore answered him, "What sign do you show us, seeing that you do these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up."
What?
The Jews therefore said, 46 years was this temple in building, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he spoke.
He's like, bitch, I know how to make a water into wine, okay? I can raise this shit up. Sorry.
But he spoke of the temple of his body.
Oh, what?
Oh, wait.
That's what it says.
Wait, what?
Is that where my body is a temple comes from?
I don't know if that's where it comes from, but this whole body being a temple metaphor is common in the New Testament. And in Christianity in general.
That. And the whole 3 days later, this is John writing this gospel later than all the others. I think he's writing in more foreshadowing even than the others had.
Foreshadowing.
So he's like really trying to make this into more of a blockbuster, I think.
Yeah. It's a big budget revival.
He's doing a good job so far, I gotta say. Like, I understand why he's so full of himself.
I do want to clarify. I don't necessarily
I know, but it's funny how you put it.
Okay, fine.
When therefore he was raised from the dead, this is some foreshadowing.
Oh, but also just like telling
or
it to
like
us.
A little bit of flash forward. When therefore he was raised...
I'm sorry for the person in the chat who didn't want spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jesus is going to raise from the dead, I guess. Maybe.
Allegedly.
When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said.
Cool.
Now...
Okay. So hold on. Couple of things. One, I did look up that my zeal will raise up my house, whatever. It's from a psalm.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Not only just any psalm, it is from Psalm 69.
Nice.
Yes. And then the other thing is I was looking at the Message translation of this from Eugene, our good buddy, and he said, later, after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered he had said this. They then put two and two together and believed both what was written in scripture and what Jesus had said.
Wow. Those guys are real amazing.
Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name, observing his signs, which he did. But Jesus didn't trust himself to them because he knew everyone. And because he didn't need for anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man.
So what?
Do you want me to read it again?
He saw what was in them.
He knew everyone. Everyone is a freaking dirty bird. Can't be trusted.
Everyone's a dove.
True.
Okay.
Yes, everyone's a dove. Can't look him in the eye. What does Eugene have for this last verse in the chapter?
Yeah, Eugene says, but Jesus didn't entrust his life to them. He knew them inside and out, knew how untrustworthy they were. He didn't need any help in seeing right through them.
Oh, yikes.
You knew.
Now, I'm at the bottom of the page looking at the multiple translations here, because that's the end of chapter 2. And I notice a footnote in the NIV for John 2, verse 4, that the footnote just says, the Greek word for woman does not denote any disrespect.
Whoa. Oh, and like you mean like the way he addressed his mom? When he was like, woman,
that
doesn't have anything to do with you and me.
Oh, that actually is a good clarification.
Yeah, that he wasn't saying like, bitch. He was just like, mom.
Right.
Yo.
You too in your language today. Goodness.
I'm sorry. John is like getting us hyped, okay? I have a question.
Yes.
Can I just say that of all of the people on the planet at this point in time, the disciples are not that impressive ever. He's just talking constantly about how much they kind of disappoint him, if that makes sense.
Mm. Emily.
What?
This is going to be your sermon. Because that's the whole point, is that like we don't need to be amazing and not disappointing to be followers of God and do great works.
But my point...
Amen.
See, this is why I need you guys to help me workshop my sermon.
Okay, yeah.
But the point, to me at least, is there wasn't anyone better out there. Like, he couldn't pick better boys to be his disciples.
Well, it doesn't seem Nathaniel. Like he necessarily had an audition process.
Keith is Simon Peter and that and Andrew and that other dude and Judas.
Yeah, that's true. Like, should have done a background check a little bit there.
All I'm saying.
We did kind of portray his recruiting process as just anyone I see walking down the street. You, follow me.
Right.
Like, all right, he goes and gets his brother. Next, you, follow me. Okay, you, I don't like your name. We're going to give you a different
one. When you're in the early days of building a cult, you can't be that picky.
Sure.
I get that.
You got to just get following. But you got to get... This inertia.
This is Jesus we're talking about. He seems to know everything about everyone. So to me, he would probably deduce that this person would be interested in me as a leader. And they're also exceptional in some way, as opposed to this person is not exceptional. He's actually kind of a failure, but he will follow me because he's a follower. I feel like he chose those types of boys as opposed to a different type of boy. Maybe he just didn't want anyone trying to fight with him.
It's fair.
Although these boys do fight with him.
They fight with each other more than him.
Yeah, they fight with each other about who's the best.
Yeah.
Who's the best follower.
Right. They're just like, teacher, look.
Now, I am curious to see if your opinion or if all of our opinions of the disciples changes at all once we get to Acts. But that's for another day. Okay. So just put a pin in that. See if we change our opinion then.
Can I just ask about Acts? Is Acts about the disciples after Jesus is dead?
Yes.
Well, after Jesus has ascended. Can you remember, he dies.
I know, and then he rockets up into space.
Rockets up into space, yes.
Yeah.
But, I love that for us. I love this idea that...
The spinoff series?
Yeah. It's all we are the disciples. And, we're going to have the little...
The ragtag 80s sitcom.
Exactly.
We are the disciples.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what Axe is going to be. That sounds really silly.
I like it. Okay. Great.
Okay.
Perfect.
Are we going to... blow this popsicle stand?
I think that we should.
Let's do it. Let's blow it.
Goodness gracious.
Okay, everyone. Thank you all for joining us for Bible study today. If you want to join the audience in our live stream shows, follow us on Twitch at Drunk Bible Study or go to drunkbiblestudy.com/live. If you want even more Drunk Bible Study, including early releases, cocktail recipes, personal toasts on the show, and more, become one of our patrons at patreon.com/drunkbiblestudy. If you enjoy the show, take a moment to subscribe and write us a nice review on iTunes, letting other people know what you like about it. You can also join fellow listeners in the Drunk Bible Study Fans and Fellowship Facebook group or on our Discord server at discord.drunkbiblestudy.com. Find us on Twitter at Drunk Bible Cast, on Instagram at Drunk Bible Study, or send us an email to info@drunkbiblestudy.com. Drunk Bible Study is created and produced by Jace Lindgren, Dedeker Winston, and me, Emily Matlack. Our theme song is Book Club by Josh Anonin from their album Home of the. For more information, visit us at drunkbiblestudy.com. I made a memory about your dad.